Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. You know, anglers are known for their fish stories, and our next guest is known for telling those stories in rhyme. With us from up north is the musky poet himself, Scott Schmidt. He has written poems about fishing, hunting, and other Northwoods tales for over 30 years. And he's published a few of them, 10 of them, I believe, in a new book. It's called Lines from Upstream. So we're going to talk to him about how he puts those verses together and the real events that inspired them. Maybe you've heard some of Scott's poems. What do you think? Maybe you've got a fish story or two to tell yourself, or maybe a favorite poem relating to it. Join in. Give us a call at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or you can email us, maybe you can email us a poem at ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Scott Schmidt, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Oh, I'm really glad to be here with you, Larry.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've done a lot of fishing in your neck of the woods for muskie, so it was a real treat to learn that you had the time to be with us today. How'd you get started writing poetry?
I don't know. I guess I've always just liked to write poems ever since I was a little kid, and I just kind of fell into it. I really love muskie fishing and fishing of all kinds, and it was just a natural thing for me to write about. And when I was younger, we had a pile of Sports Afield magazines at home from the 1930s, and in the back of each one was a column called The Liars Club, and that pretty much set the tone for what I like to write about.
Well, there's a great story, I think, about what inspired your first poem, and I think it had to do with a lightning storm.
Oh, yeah, I was fishing out in Springstead and on Charnley Lake and got caught in a small aluminum rowboat in the middle of the lake in a big lightning storm, and it just kind of occurred to me that it would be just my luck for me to have a great big muskie in the boat and not be able to make it to shore with it to show it off. And about a week or two later, I had the Rime of Gus written.
About a lightning strike while a guy fishing for muskies. Oh, man. So that, did you print it out at the time? I mean, you wrote it out, I guess, but what'd you do with it at the time?
Well, I was a college student at UWSP in Stevens Point at the time. I was an English major and a writing minor, and I wrote it and I used it for some of my English classes, and then it pretty much sat like the rest of mine and collected and until now.
and what inspired the book?
Well, my wife, she'd always been encouraging me to keep on writing, and she was a great sounding board. And well, our plan was to get a book together and then travel around the state and go to different libraries and stuff and, you know, and sell a few just to pay for our trips. And, well, she passed away last October and didn't get to see the book published, but that's still what I'm planning on doing now with it.
And I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that for sure. But I hope you do get out and get around to the to libraries and other places to talk about the book. I really enjoyed it. You know, I got it, I don't know, a month or so ago, and I sat down and read it at the time, and then I put it down, and I picked it up yesterday again and reread the poems that you've written, and I got to tell you, they were just as fresh and fun to read a second time through than they were the first time, and they really... really perked up my day, frankly, to read these poems.
Oh, thank you very much.
Man, how often do you write?
Well, not as often as I ought to.
I understand.
I'm not the kind of a writer that can sit down and look at a blank page and then just start writing. You know, I got to pretty much have an idea of what I'm going to write before I write it.
Yeah.
While I was a member of we had a writer's club here in Park Falls, a third story writer's guild. We met every week, and there are people that, you know, they had goals to write a certain amount of words, like 70,000 words in a week or a month, and I just couldn't see how they would do that. You know, I gotta have an idea. I gotta know what I'm writing before I write it, and then even after I get it done, then I change it a lot. It takes a long time for it to be finished.
Yeah, sometimes just a few words, changing a few words can make all the difference in the world. Isn't it true?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I understand that from my own writing that I've had to do. I haven't written any poetry. Maybe unfortunately, that's not where I'm good at. What does it take to be a good poetry writer?
I guess just a good ear for rhymes, for my style of poetry at least.
Yeah,
and
here's
a rhythm.
Yeah, the rhythm. Yours is a very distinctive, a very descriptive style of writing. It really puts you in the place that you're writing about or the person you're writing about.
Well, thanks. One of the things I strive to do when I write is to write in complete sentences. And most of my poems, you could break them down and write them out in paragraph form, and they would still work. So it helps them to read smoother then and to flow better.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense to me. You can join in too, by the way. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Kathleen in Fifield, your turn. Thanks for joining in. Oh, sorry. I guess she may not be quite ready yet to talk about that. Well, what makes a good fishing story?
Oh, gosh, a big fish. Or just something funny about it, a story. Everybody's got one, you know, a big fish story, it seems like. And it's just a matter of making them rhyme.
Well, I think Kathleen's ready now from Fifield. Kathleen, hi, thanks for calling.
Hello there, Scott.
Hi, Kathleen.
My gosh, how have you been doing? You just finally got that book out. I just wanted to shout at you. I enjoyed it so much already.
Well, thank you.
And well, I remember coming up with the idea you should be on the radio with Larry Mueller, and here you are. I was so surprised when I had tuned in and found you.
So, Kathleen,
things work out the way they're supposed to.
That's for sure. So, Kathleen's an old friend, eh?
Yep, she's a big fisherman too.
A fan of his poems. We're in the same writers, and always kept telling them, you've got to get those published, got to get them going. So that's all I had to say, Scott. We'll talk to you another time.
Kathleen, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, Scott Schmitz, our guest today, he is a poet who has written poems about fishing, hunting, and other Northwoods tall tales. Been doing it for 30 years or better, and it's really fun to have him with us. And we'll talk some more about his poems. Maybe I can talk him into reading one of them at some point. But we'll also talk about fishing. Maybe you got a fishing story for us you want to tell, or maybe just a question about fishing. You can join in with that too. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. Take a quick look at the news, and we'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. Then we'll be back with Scott Schmidt, author of Lines from Upstream. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mealer here. We're telling fishing stories and talking about poetry a little bit with our guest, Scott Schmidt. He is a poet who has written poems about fishing, hunting, and other tales for over three decades. And you could read a few of them in his new book. His new book is called Lines from Upstream. So maybe you have a fishing story to share with us today. We always love a good fishing story. What would you like to know about telling a good story, or maybe about poetry and writing? I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. I'd love to hear from you. Well, Scott, why publish right now? It's, you know, you've been sitting on some of these for 30 years.
I'm a big procrastinator, Larry. And, well, it was quite a process. I didn't really know what I was getting into when I first started trying to put the book together. And after a couple of years, Orange Hat Publishing was just great to work with. They're very patient, and they put up with everything. And I'm really glad with what we finally did come out with.
Well, I really enjoy the poems, but I also really enjoy the illustrations. I love the illustration, for example, on your cover. And you worked with a gal by the name of Terry Morgan for that. Talk about that experience.
Yeah, I've known Terry my whole life. She's the same age as me. We graduated from high school in Park Falls together, and she married another guy from our class. We've been pretty close, and she's always been a great artist, and she did a really good job for me. I'm really happy with what she did.
Yeah, how did that process work? Did you send her the poems, and then she, well, describe how that process worked.
Yeah, I just gave her a copy of the poems and let her make her own pictures out of them. In fact, the one picture that she drew for the poem, The Catch-All, she actually got a contract that they made it into gift bags for Cabela's.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I could see why they would.
It really
adds to the experience of reading one of your poems, the illustrations that she's put together.
Yeah, and she said that she would rather have them, instead of doing color pictures, she liked them being black and white, just so they, she said she didn't want her pictures to take away from the writing, but I think the way she did it, it actually adds to it a lot.
Well, and the and of course the cover illustration is in color, and it is really beautiful. Well, yeah. What's your favorite poem?
My favorite? Oh boy, that's a tough one, Larry. I like The Catch-All and The Demon Muskie from Hell. That was my wife's favorite, Linda's favorite. She loved The Demon Muskie from Hell. And most of them, you know, they have backstories to them. Like Danny's Wild Ride, that was about one of my uncles who fell out of his boat. True story, basically. And there's always something behind all of them. The Catch-All, that was a story for I wrote for one of my friends who had a bait that he caught everything on it, from perch to walleyes to bass. He even caught a bullhead, but the only thing he'd never caught was a muskie, and he never let me use that bait. But one day we were fishing, and we had to stop on shore so he could go to the bathroom, and I grabbed his rod, had that catch-all on it, and made a cast, and I caught a muskie. It was the only fish he hadn't caught on that bait, and then after I landed it, the lure broke in half. So it was ruined. And so I thought about that. I got to memorialize that in a poem for you. And he came up with The Catch-All.
I can tell you there's a few of my stories that you could memorialize in poems for sure. When you, that catch-all reminded me about a fishing trip I took with my two brothers and my dad, and the bearings went out on one of the trailer tires, and so we had to stop in Cornell, Wisconsin, on our way up north to fish, and my brother opened the trunk of the car, and then he closed the trunk, but he closed the trunk down on the ends of my brand new custom-made muskie fishing rods. So I had both rods broken right away. And then we were up there. We weren't catching any fish. And then a tornado struck the area. We were at Bill Tutt's Landing, Bill Tutt's Resort on the Turtle Flambeau Flowage.
Okay.
And I'm looking out the window, and there goes a 14-foot aluminum boat about 20 feet in the air by the cabin, and lands on a cabin further down. There were some other events to that thing that I thought, boy, I could write a story just about that one experience, that one weekend, the 4 days of fishing with my brothers and my dad.
You just stand outside with your landing net up in the air and let them fly right in.
So what is it about muskies that intrigues you?
The first muskie I caught was fishing with my grandpa on the Flambeau River. And the thing about that is you can catch all kinds of fish, but, you know, you get a walleye or a bass or a perch or whatever, you know, you set the hook and it pulls a little bit. But a muskie is about the only fish where you set the hook and you think, oh, no, I got a snag, you know. Yeah. But then all of a sudden you realize, oh, my God, that's a fish. And it's just that's what happened when I hooked my first one, and that feeling just never left me. You know, it's just always that initial strike and just the power and it's just a lot of fun. It's always exciting when you get one on the line, then.
Yeah, there's always a lot of action going on in the boat.
Yeah.
when you get a strike like that, I was thinking about the first one I caught, which was in near Phillips, Wisconsin, on a lake there. And I'd cast about as far as I could cast a yellow globe bait and a surface bait, and I'm pulling it back in, and this muskie came up from underneath and nabbed that. I was so surprised. I think the fish set the hook himself or herself, and I was able to finally get her in, and that really kind of set me up for fishing muskies as well, and I've been doing it ever since.
Not much more exciting in freshwater fishing around here than having a big muskie come up out of the water and grab your surface bait. You know, that's going to keep you coming back.
that's for sure. Well, by the way, before I go any further, I want to say, if you want to join in with your own story or your own question or your own fish story, we'd love to hear that as well. The number is 800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. I don't know if you're up for this, but one of the poems I got a kick out of a lot was Mike's Passion.
Oh, okay.
Which is on page 7 of your book. And I thought, I'd read it before, but I hadn't read it for a while. And so it caught me by surprise right off the bat. So I'm going to let you ponder that for a minute about reading that particular, whether or not you want to read that poem. But Patrick in Stoughton has something for us, so let's go there first. Patrick, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. So me and two buddies were out fishing one time, and I noticed that a little baby duck had some rope hanging out of its beak. And I said, hey, Mike. That little duck's got some rope hanging out of it. And he, excuse me, I'm in a drive-thru, so. So he cast out with his Rapala and caught the duck caught the rope with the first cast, and he's reeling this baby duck in, and the mother and father duck are just going crazy, and they start dive bombing him, and my other buddy runs over on the deck and starts defending him like a swashbuckler, and he's reeling in, and more rope is coming out of this baby duck, and eventually the baby duck finally spit the rope up, and the parents left, but it was... It was a very exciting evening.
Oh, I was waiting for you to say the muskie came up behind and ate the duck before he could get it in.
That is a great story. Kind of along those lines. My mother and dad. My dad was fishing, and my mother was in the front of the boat while he fished in the back of the boat. And she didn't fish herself, but she liked to go with him. And they're sort of going along in a slow stretch of water, and there's a red-winged blackbird on a cattail, and it's only a few inches above the water. It was kind of an idealistic setting, and they're both looking at it, and as they're watching, suddenly out of the water there's a big splash, and probably a muskie. Anyway, that bird was gone. If it had only been one person telling me that story, I would not have believed it. But it was my mother and dad, and I could tell the way they told that story that it, in fact, was a true story. So that's one of the things I think about fishing and being in the outdoors, especially fishing. There are so many memories that can come to mind.
That's right, and they don't have to necessarily be about catching a fish either.
No, absolutely not. Mary in Green Bay has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I'm listening, and I love these fishing stories. We love to fish, and there's always a lot of stories to tell. One time we were fishing with some friends, and it was a small lake. There were seagulls flying by. And a seagull went down to pick up a dead fish, and it grabbed the line of my friend, and it proceeded to fly up and take the fishing pole in the air. So the fishing pole was flying up in the air above our boat, and there was nothing we could do to get the pole, and the poor bird was flapping. Eventually, it did drop it, and we were able to retrieve it, but it was hilarious to see this fishing pole up in the air.
My mom and dad had a foreign exchange student from Finland one time, and they made a river trip, floated down the Flambeau River, and this boy brought a lure that his grandfather had carved out of wood, and he put that on and casted it out, and an eagle swooped down and grabbed his lure and flew away with it.
Oh my goodness, and he didn't get it back.
No.
Oh my goodness me!
Well, had to have been a good lure.
Well, I tell you what—you probably can't see this, Scott, but we got an email from Scott from Superior. Emailed this photo of a 50-inch, 40-pound muskie. He caught it from his kayak in the St. Louis River in 2016. He was trolling along the weeds when he thought he had snagged a log. And when his line took off, he knew it was a fish of a lifetime. And he had 10-pound test line, so he had to be careful. But he was able to tire her out enough to where he could paddle himself out to the shallows to another fisherman where he said he would help Seth land her. 30 minutes later, they were able to net her for this photo.
Wow.
Yeah, he got a graphite rod made in sort of remembrance of that fish, and it is a gorgeous gorgeous fish, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, there's always a lot of excitement. I can give you one story about going in the very cold and late when there's a little, you have to get break the ice out of the bottom of the boat. And the turtle Flambeau flowage, and we went out from Tut's Landing, and some other friends had gone out ahead of us a couple of hours, And we got out there, and there's a stump patch, and we were, and it was windy, very windy, and we were going through this stump patch, and I, on my second cast, I hooked into a big fish, and it was blowing so fast, and trying to finagle the fish around the various stumps, and we got through the stump patch, and hit a sandbar, and I jumped out of the boat, and beached the fish. A very nice muskie, and when you've got action like that going on, it's quite an experience.
Yes, it is. It's just not like catching any other kind of fish.
No, that's for sure. Well, Ed in Middleton's got a story. Let's go there. Hi, Ed.
Yeah, this is Ed. I was just telling you a story that I heard this, so I didn't see it. Anyhow, the guy goes up north, and they have people that will take you out. And he took his wife along for the first time, and he got in the boat with one of the guides, and she got in the boat with the other guide, a different one, and she catches this big muskie, and she gets scared, and she throws her fishing rod in the water because it was so huge. Then the guide pulls out a .22 pistol he take along for like killing snakes or something, and he starts shooting at the fish to get it back. So I have no idea what happened after that. So
well, you know, that had to be a few years back, because at one point you could shoot a muskie in the water.
Yep.
And there are many stories. That's a good story, Ed. There are many stories of guys actually shooting holes in the bottom of their boat with, you know, that kind of thing has long been illegal, but there are many a story connected with that. Well, Ed, thanks a lot. Well, you want to read that poem? Give us so our listeners have an idea of kind of what you got in there in your book. It's the one that I thought might work best. It's a little shorter than some of them. Some of them are quite long.
Yeah.
But Mike's Passion. You want to read that one?
Sure. Mike's Passion I wrote for my godson Mike when he graduated from high school. The shore of the river, a hot summer night, rippled reflections of moon and starlight cast a soft luminescence on a couple prone on the bank on a blanket, together, alone. It was Mike and his girl, and Mike felt he was right. Conditions were perfect that hot summer night, so he pulled the girl close, whispered soft in her ear what he knew, what he wanted, desired, sincere. She responded at once, said assertively, no. But Mike was insistent, could not let it go. The time, the place, an evening to savor, the river, the night, it was all in his favor. Mike begged and he pleaded. He argued his case, but could not his sweetheart's resistance erase. So he did what he had to. He did what it took. Mike played his best card, the puppy dog look. He looked so pathetic. How could he not win? Mike felt his heart sore when she finally gave in. Her defenses crumbled. The girl said at last, okay, Mike, go ahead, but only one cast. And
I just laughed out loud when I first read that. And so you wrote that for your nephew, did you say?
My godson. He's one of my cousins, yeah.
Oh, and as you were saying earlier, I think many of your poems were written for people that you know.
Yes.
And I've heard that you've read your poems for free pizza.
That's actually how it all got started, Larry. I was Linda and I went to the Schwamigan Canoe Club, it was called at the time, to have a pizza, and the owner was a friend. He said, well, I'll give you the pizza for free if you recite a poem. And so I recited the catch-all, and it just so happened that Jim Dittman, the publisher of the local Leaving magazine, was in the bar with one of his sons, and he asked me if I wanted a column in his magazine, and from that point on, things just started getting better.
Oh my goodness! Well, have you had What's been the experience, or what's been the reaction to the book from people?
Oh, it's been very good. getting good letters. I had a really good letter from someone out west who's a 95-year-old father, loves the book and reads out of it every day. And my one daughter works at the nursing home in Park Falls, and she takes it in and reads it to the people there, and they all love it. And it's selling pretty good on Amazon.
Well, that...
pretty happy with it.
Well, I would imagine you would be. And in terms of getting a hold of the book, the book's available. I'm sure local bookstores in your area would have it, and local bookstores anywhere could get it, but you can also just order it on Amazon, right?
Amazon, or if you want a signed copy, orangehatpublishing.com, and go to the bookstore, and you'll get a signed copy.
Orangehatpublishing.org is the place to go then.
.org, okay.
Or is it .com? Was it .com? I'm sorry.
I'd have to look now. I think it's .com.
Yeah, orangehatpublishing.com. I think you're right there. Well, Scott, this has been a lot of fun talking with you today. Thank you so much. I hope you sell a lot of books, and enjoyed talking with you. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Larry. Have a good day.
You as well. Scott Schmidt, our guest today. His book, a book of poetry about fishing, especially muskies, is called Lines from Upstream. Scott Schmidt, with illustrations by Terry Morgan. What a fun read. Oh, man. Well, fun talking with him. Fun having you with us today. I really appreciate it. Tomorrow, our home improvement expert, John Freiberger, joins us. In the meantime, stay with us. Lots in store. I'm Larry Mueller.